McLeod. Good morning, Jim.
Morning, Jay.
All right, Jim. So the Minnesota Wild win last night, 3-1. They beat the New York Rangers. The Wild got goals in the game from Jonas Brodin. Danila Yurov got his first NHL goal, and then Kirill Kaprizov added an empty netter. Your thoughts on Yurov and the Wild getting a win to go to 3-3-1?
He was their first-round pick in 2022. He's only 21 years old. He's got pretty good size. Still pretty slim. He's going to have to grow into his body, his frame. But and listen, that was probably it was his first career goal. Probably the easiest goal he's ever going to get. Johansson made a really strong move to the net to try to wrap around. Tarasenko crashed and kind of drew the defense, and all Yurov had to do was just tuck in a loose puck. But still, important goal, good road win. You know, allows him to kind of. It's been a bit of a bumpy start that has included a difficult road trip, and this kind of helps them survive that. And like Gustafson's very good, the defense is very good. So they salvaged that at the end of the road trip.
Jim, game 7 of the ALCS was won by the Blue Jays 4-3 over the Mariners. Big 3-run home run from George Springer in the 7th inning, turning a 3-1 deficit into a 4-3 lead. Your thoughts on the Blue Jays?
Probably the second biggest home run in Blue Jays history. I was lucky to be there in 93 for the biggest, Joe Carter's game, you know, series ending home run in 93 that won the World Series for the Blue Jays. And of course, we should remember that while Joe Carter's home run is what people remember and should remember, Paul Molitor was the MVP of that series. He had a brilliant series. It was a great series too. And getting to spend that time in Toronto really made me love the city. I had traveled there a lot as a beat writer, but you know, being there but it was just a great experience. And Paul Molitor of St. Paul was the best player in that series. Now the Blue Jays go back to the World Series for the first time since 1993. They faced the Dodgers. The Dodgers, of course, have the star power. The Dodgers are favored, but the Blue Jays might be the better team.
Blue Jays seem like offensively, certainly with George Springer, boy, he has been what a great postseason player. There's certain players that seem like they step up their play in the postseason, and he's traditionally been one of those guys.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it is just attitude. You know, I mean, all these guys have the ability to perform at this level, and some just seem to love it. And Springer seems to love it. He's been a great clutch hitter, great postseason player. Incredible moment, 3-run homer to put his team up by 1. And now you see some former Twins in the World Series, too. You'll see Louis Varland. You'll see David Popkins, their hitting coach, who was with the Twins last year. And then, Jose Berríos has been hurt, so he'll probably be hanging around, but I don't think he's going to perform.
A couple of Monday Night Football games last night. Lions beat the Bucs 24-9. Jahmyr Gibbs, 136 yards rushing, 2 touchdowns, a long 78-yard run in that game. The Bucs just lost another receiver. Mike Evans is out. Looks like a broken collarbone. So,
yep,
they're 5-2, but man, they've got a lot of injuries at the receiver position.
They do. It's admirable the way they've played for a long time now. But boy, they have a lot of injuries. And Ibuka is a really good rookie receiver. I don't know if he's a number one. I'm not sure he's the guy who can beat your number one cornerback. He's more somebody who takes advantage of the second and third cornerback. It'll be interesting to see if they can get Chris Godwin back. And it'll help when they get Bucky Irving back as well, their number one running back. Listen, it's a very good team, and they lost at Detroit on a Monday night. There's no shame in that, but they do have some issues to deal with. I think we've answered the question of whether, you know, I really thought Detroit was going to be a lesser team this year without the two coordinators, without their center. And honestly, it looks like they figured it out. They look like they're very well coached. They had basically nobody, none of their starters in the secondary were healthy, and they played extremely well. So really, the Lions might be the best team in the NFC. And that was a really impressive outing last night.
Jim, the Seahawks won the late game 27-19 against the Texans. Sam Darnold, 213 yards passing and a touchdown. He was intercepted once, but Seahawks are 5-2 under Darnold's leadership. What do you think about Darnold and the Seahawks? Are they legit?
Well, I think they're a good team. I think they're a really good team. But fascinating, you know, just when everybody is starting up with the easy second guess, so why didn't the Vikings keep Darnold? Well, they didn't keep Darnold because they didn't want to sign someone they didn't trust to a long-term expensive contract. And the way he played in the last two games last year made them not trust him. And what did we see last night? Darnold was very hot early on, made a bunch of great throws. And then the second half, he did what he did in the Rams game, which is he spun out of trouble into more trouble. And got sacked, stripped, and gave Houston the touchdown. And really the only way Houston's going to win that game is if he gave him some free touchdowns like that. And then he threw a bad interception over the middle. So I would slow the roll on Darnold's God, and the Vikings should have paid him whatever he wanted. He's a very talented guy. He can make plays, but I still don't trust him.
If you wanted to second guess, would the Daniel Jones not bringing him back or offering him the starting role, would that be a fair second guess?
I just don't know that anybody knew. Let's face it. Daniel Jones is a free agent. The best job offer he got in the NFL was the Colts saying, you can come to camp and compete for the starting job with a guy who hadn't done anything. So no NFL team was like, let's hand our organization over to Daniel Jones. Now, he's played great. And I think Steichen is an excellent coach, and that's a really good team. And it was an underrated team in need of just a quarterback who could run their offense. And Daniel Jones has been fantastic. I'm just not sure anybody could have said, oh, yeah, we drafted a quarterback number 10 last year. Let's throw away the plan to develop him for a guy who nobody really wants.
And certainly, I'm with you. I think the giving J.J. McCarthy the opportunity is something they had to do. I mean, they drafted him.
Yeah.
But we're not going to see J.J. this week, right? I mean, it's going to be Wentz?
I think they'll probably announce that later today. They didn't announce it yet, but I think it's the only way they can go.
And Wentz is healthy enough to go?
Well, both of them were listed as limited yesterday, but you know, one nice thing about having an older veteran quarterback as your backup/gap quarterback is, I mean, nobody wants him to get hurt, but you're more willing to put Wentz out there when he's banged up than you are to put J.J. McCarthy out there when he's banged up. So I don't think Wentz is going to be 100%, but I think he'll play.
If they had to play Max, could Max handle it, do you think?
Everything everybody likes about Max is, I mean, all the assessments are accurate. He's smart. He's adaptable. He's accurate. But he's never faced an NFL defense that is game planned to stop him. He's never faced a number one NFL defense that is game planned to stop him. And I just think it would be a big ask. And the problem with, if Wentz goes in there and plays lousy, gets beat up, it's not what anybody wants to see, but you really haven't lost anything. If Max Brosberg goes out there and gets embarrassed you could really set back his development and ruin his confidence. I don't think anybody wants to see that.
What is the high end on Max? Number two quarterback? Is he good enough for that?
I think right now he projects to be a nice backup quarterback. Now, you never know, right? I mean, we all know this, the aberrations. Tom Brady, 6th-round draft pick. Although he was a guy who went to Michigan and was number one quarterback at Michigan. So, there was high-end talent there. He just didn't, his college career wasn't as spectacular as you would have hoped if you were in Tom Brady's camp. Joe Montana, 3rd-round pick, but he played at Notre Dame and he won big games at Notre Dame. I just don't think we know. I think Max has earned all the praise he has received, but we just don't know what he's going to look like when he actually plays in a real game.
Jim, anything new on the Twins managerial search?
Yeah, Scott Servais and the Royals third base coach, I'm blanking on his name at the moment, have been added to the list of people who are going to interview. Servais obviously was with the Mariners for a long time. They fired him a couple of years ago when they collapsed down the stretch. I apologize, I'm blanking on the Royals third base coach. He's a former major league catcher. And the Royals have done a nice job of player development, so they're going to give him a look. I'll go back and say I still think Rousen and Vasquez are the top two candidates, with maybe Derek Shelton being on the fringes. But they're going to be thorough. They're going to interview a bunch of people.
Is it Vance Wilson? Is that the guy?
Yes, thank you. Yes, that's him.
Okay. How about the Timberwolves? They're going to start their season tomorrow night at Portland. Portland looks like a different team. Well, is Portland a team that could be competitive this year?
Theoretically, I think they've made strides. They have young talent. They're developing that talent. They play hard. There are a lot of things to like there, but I just don't think they can contend in the West. You know, maybe they can be a play-in spot or a bottom seed. But, you know, I like what they're doing, but they're just up against it in the West.
How about the Wolves? Excited about the season, and what are the expectations that they can get back to the Western Conference Finals? I mean, it's pretty much the same group.
Yeah, it's got to be the minimum goal is to go back to the Western Conference Finals and then play better in the Western Conference Finals. And they do believe that continuity will help them. They believe that DiVincenzo and Randle are in much better places than they were when they got here last year. They're replacing. They only lost one key player, Nickeil Alexander-Walker, and his departure opens up time for younger players. I like this team. You know, now once you get to this stage, you know, there just isn't much much room for improvement. You know, the only way to improve is to go to the NBA Finals. Is this team capable of that? I think so, but it's not going to be easy.
All right, Jim, what do you got in your podcast?
Full slate is up at TalkNorth.com. We'll start a new slate today with the John Krasinski Show on the Wolves preview and our Viking update show. And everything will be at TalkNorth.com or on your favorite podcast app.
All right, Jim, thank you. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Thanks, Jim.
It's Jim Suhan, Star Tribune sports columnist, joining us each weekday morning at this time. Follow him on Twitter at SuhanStrib. Check out his latest column in the Star Tribune or his podcast at TalkNorth.com. Jim, once again today, brought to you by the Green Mill in downtown St. Cloud. Next on WJON, World and National News from ABC, followed by local news.